Lord Jesus give you his peace. Things aren't looking good for the prophet Jeremiah as he's confronted with the people of Jerusalem after having prophesied against the holy city. And it's the seems to be the office of the prophet to bear the word, and the word, of course, will go against the fallen will of man and what we think is good and what God has decreed for our good. Oftentimes are two different things. And so, position, but we also know that Jeremiah has been given the grace to become a wall of brass. He's been fixed against the people, really for the people, but in terms of against their sin. And in the gospel for today, at the end of Matthew 13, after the teaching of all these parables, Jesus goes back to Nazareth and teaches there. And they are scandalized at him because they know him, or they think they know him. And this one sense, this overfamiliarity kind of precludes their accepting what he has to say. And is this not the carpenter's son? In other words, or in St. Mark's gospel, is this not the worker? Isn't he just a guy? And consequently, the mystery of the incarnation, that which as Christians we carry a divine reality in earthen vessels, is not accepted. And his mother named Mary and his brothers, or his brethren, just as a brief apologetic, just so that we're all, of course, on the same page, Our Lady is perpetual virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. She remained virgin. These are brethren in the sense of cousins, and the apologetic simply will go back to the Septuagint, the Old Testament written in Greek, where this word adelphoi is used on many occasions. For example, Abraham and Lot, uncle and nephew, of more distant relations than biological brother, biological sister, adelphoi. And so that's the use of the word, and that's what it refers to here. It's a hard lineage to follow, but Father Lepi will talk about one of the sisters being, that is to say, one of the women there being St. Mary, or Mary of Clopas, and these all four being her sons. And Hegesippus, an early of post-apostolic writer, says that Clopas was the brother of Joseph, St. Joseph, and perhaps even this Mary of Clopas was the sister of the Blessed Virgin Mary by different, again, the lineage is kind of a bit convoluted, but that seems to be the most reasonable. Nevertheless, we're still confronted with the rejection of the Christ with in his own hometown. And he says, a prophet is not with honor except in his native place, in his own house. One of the things we've been kind of preparing for throughout the week is Our Lady of the Angels. And throughout the week, it seems like the different theme that's been kind of been raising up is the slavery to the Immaculate Virgin Mary being her property, and this gift of obedience with St. Ignatius of Loyola. And we think of the saint of today, St. Alphonsus Liguori. He's a doctor of moral theology, and moral theology pertains to that which we choose. Our will is involved in moral theology, and Our Lady of the Angels is a specific title of Our Lady, who is Queen of the Angels, and these angels are spiritual beings whose will is fixed. There's no more choice to be made. A demon cannot repent, nor can a good angel now fall, because their will has been fixed. And so is this aspect this morning that we can kind of look at Our Lady of the Angels through the lens of St. Alphonsus Liguori, who was a bishop, a founder of Redemptorists, born in 1696, died in 1787. He has a wonderful work called The Glories of Mary, which I think would be great if every Catholic household had that in their shelves just for a means of devotion. He is, St. Alphonsus is known for his spirit of devotion, in other words, his spirit of love, a very warm, effusive language about love of God and love of neighbor, and also at the same time being very, very strong against sin and the last things. It's a very, at times it's hard for people to accept this great mix in his writings, because he was very, very pure. And consequently, all these dimensions coming out, He had mentioned one time that he had never confessed in his own moral life of being moved by passion, that is to say, having sinned because of being taken away by passion. That's how pure he was. And so just kind of doing something of a search through this work, Glories of Mary, with the word angel. It's a beautiful thing to honor Our Lady under this title, and that we hope for her continued intercession in our lives as we have pledged ourselves to her. A continual theme throughout the work of the Glories of Mary is that she is, and throughout the whole church, she's greater than all the angels and saints together. Her love for God is greater than all the angels and saints together. Her sufferings for love of God are greater than all the martyrs together. She is loved more than all the angels and saints together. And consequently, it's a beautiful section. Sometimes we focus on the seraphim, the highest of the choirs of angels around the Lord that burn with love of God. And this is St. Alphonse is saying that the Blessed Virgin Mary revealed to Sister Mary of the Crucifixion that the fire of love with which she burned for God was so great that would it in a moment inflame heaven and earth, and that in comparison to it, all the flames of the burning love of the seraphim were as cool breezes. And that's the reality of the situation because of our very privileged office of Mother of God. There is, although the Our Lady of the Angels is a very beautiful title, there's no greater title just because of what it signifies in her relationship with the Christ and the graces that flow from the hypostatic union than the Mother of God. Some other things that St. Alphonsus will write about is how Our Lady, like the angels, grows exponentially by grace. This increase of merit, as they say, he writes, was granted to the angels in time of their probation, in terms of the angels were tested, and as they passed they greatly grew in merit. And if it were granted to the angels, who shall say that it was not also given to the Divine Mother while she lived on this earth? And he, along with different of the saints, will posit that even while she's in the womb of Saint Anne, this increase of merit is going on. She's also the mediatrix of the angels, as she has been the mediatrix of all of us, our Mother in the Order of Grace. Many theologians, he writes, are of the opinion that Jesus Christ obtained by his merits the grace of perseverance also for the angels. And he also says, as he does that, by merit, also Our Lady is mediatrix in a similar way. He says de congruo, it's a kind of a word, just kind of by analogy or by relationship with Christ. Because she was so filled with grace, her self-offering to God was very, very prompt. And greater graces than all the angels and saints together from the first moment that she had the use of reason, which again was, again, according to some, even within the womb. You say, well, how can that be? There's no physical substrate upon which the reason can work. Let's not forget, after death, we'll be disembodied souls. We'll be souls. We'll still have the power of intellect. So these things are not out of the order of possibility. Certainly it is, in one sense, extraordinary, but we can't say that it's impossible, because the soul is the form of the body, not the other way around. Okay. Also, we should keep in mind that because Our Lady has such a privileged position, that she moves all of heaven with her prayers, that when she looks on us with love, all of the angels and saints also are involved with that movement of, we can say, the loving gaze of the Immaculate, which comes to its ultimate culmination at the hour of our death, when Our Lady will send her angels and perhaps even on occasion be right there with us at the hour of death. There's different beautiful stories in the Glories of Mary about that. St. Bonaventure says that Mother Mary sends the Archangel St. Michael with all the angels to the defense of her dying servants. Other aspects of that, on special feast days of Our Lady, she herself even descends into purgatory to release the souls that have been continued to experience the mercy of Christ in the afterworld. And atoning for their sins. So the consequence of all this, or at least the upshot of it, is that we also are called to have angelic love for Our Lady. And just as the angel's will is fixed, and the prophet Jeremiah, we can say his will is fixed, the Blessed Virgin Mary, her will was fixed on love of Christ, so to us. And the dimension that this has in the glories of Mary is that even, you know, from very, very early on, Our Lady knew the sufferings that Christ would endure and made that self-offering along with the offering of her Son, despite all the sufferings which she knew in minute detail, and it would continue to unfold for her. So too with us, as we get more and more light in terms of what the vocation we have embraced involves and different sufferings in our life, so too may we implore Our Lady of the Angels to send the angels to also, that our will, which again St. Gregory the Great will talk about, how it implants in us all the virtues, this grace of obedience to the holy will of God, we might render love for love with the angels to Our Lady of the Angels.